Hello and welcome aboard your maritime program. On this week's edition of Seascapes, we feature the International Federation of Disabled Sailing. That's the IFDS Disabled Sailing World Championships in Kinsale, attracting sailors from all over the world to the seaside town. We'll be hearing from Access sailor Georgina Griffin, former America's Cup sailor and member of the Kiwi Gold Squad David Barnes, Stephen Thomas, a former rugby player from Bridgend in Wales, bronze medal Paralympian Nikki Burrell, the world number one Megan Pascoe, and USA sailing team coach Betsy Allison. First here on Seascapes, Marcella Connolly talks to the remarkable Bradley Johnson.
Wisconsin-born Bradley Johnson lost both of his legs in a car accident at the age of 23. Already an Olympic-class beach volleyball player, Johnson tried his hand at sailing. A natural in the water, he is here in Kinsale representing the USA at the IFDS World's sonar class.
I am on USA 810. It's with Andy Fisher and Mike Hersey. I am the foredeck, the bowman. I became involved with sailing after the 2000 Paralympics in Australia when I met the Olympic coaches for sailing. I was there for volleyball. I met the coaches and they asked if I was interested in ever sailing, and because I live so close to the facility in Miami called Shake a Leg, and I was. So I went down there, and sure enough, over time, I guess within that next year, there were a few captains or a captain who was needing a crew and for the 2004 games, and I hopped on their boat and we went to Athens and got a bronze medal. I am a bilateral leg amputee. I'm above knee on the right side and I'm below knee on the left side. So I have my knee on the left side and I don't on the right. It was an automobile accident after I took the entrance exam for law school. I was leaving, going back home, and my car hydroplane slid into a guardrail and instantaneously removed my legs. But it was absolutely no pain. I saw the legs and I was able to communicate with my Good Samaritans who came and stopped by to help and put a few tourniquets on me. And, you know, it was a little risky because they said I lost over half the blood in my body, so they weren't certain if I was going to make it, but I did, and I have had a fantastic life. I'd do it all over again. Absolutely, without hesitation. My objective was, when it happened, I wanted to get my life as close to normal as I knew it to be. And I surpassed that. Normal now for me is well beyond what I used to know as normal. So it's always a sliding scale. I grew up, you know, on the water, you know, swimming. I was a swimmer and water skiing and all that. I just didn't have any exposure to sailing. So that was my first, you know, intro into it, and I just fell in love with the sport, you know, and the competition involved with it. So that was it. But I continued with volleyball after I, for the 2004 games, I actually was playing both sports. I was trying to help both teams get to the games. But only sailing made it. Volleyball, we got a silver at the Pan Am game, so that knocked us out for the games. So anytime you're competing, I guess, you know, strenuous, but there isn't anything extraordinarily difficult about it. No, unless you're in the middle of a race and something breaks. That's when panic strikes everyone. How can we fix it and keep racing? Well, my last team dissolved. No one was sailing anymore. Well, my last captain had to switch boats. He switched to the scud boat. And my other teammate just stopped sailing. He's more coaching now. Betsy Allison is the Olympic coach for all the American teams. For the sonar team, she's going to be our main coach. And then we have Marco Dahlberg, who's going to be the coach for the 2.4 meters. People all over the country. My teammates, Andy is from Connecticut. Mike is in Boston or Cape Cod. And I'm in Florida. So we have to get together to practice. We can't practice every day, every week. Well, now this is a newly formed team. We actually got together about a month ago and won a regatta in Chicago. So we're going to see how we play and how it works out. Our boat is a 23-foot boat, and we don't fly. We just go wing-to-wing, what we call wing-to-wing downwind, that when the main sail is out and the jib is on the other side of the boat out, that's downwind versus using the spinnaker, the big colorful third sail. We don't fly that in the disabled fleet for sonar, for downwind. We don't fly the spinnaker at all. You have both wings out. both on starboard and port, both sails are out, and the wind, hopefully, is coming from behind you if you're sailing properly.
Bradley Johnson in conversation with Marcella Connolly for Seascapes. Next, to the USA sailing team coach, Betsy Allison.
It's fantastic to be here in Kinsale, and for me, I'm especially happy to be here as Newport, Rhode Island is a sister city to Kinsale, so it's a little home away from home. But we have a very big U.S. team here. We have 15 athletes in the three classes, and we won a silver medal in Weymouth in the Scud 18, and we have three brand new teams in the Scud here, so we're very excited about that. I think the conditions here in Kinsale are going to be fabulous for racing, and we really look forward to a good performance on the water. We have a lot of athletes that range in disabilities from leg amputations, arm amputations, to some with high levels of quadriplegia. So we've got everything in between. 9 of our 15 athletes are in wheelchairs, and they're managing fairly well around Kinsale so far. They're still rolling into town. It's a little double entendre. But fact of the matter is, people here have been extremely gracious. I know that the town council has done a fabulous job of putting in new curb cuts and making things more accessible for the sailors, and I really believe that the city awareness is going to be that much better for hosting this world championship. Bringing sailing, especially with the sailors with disabilities, into this body of water is fantastic, and I think you will see some amazing sailing this week by a lot of great athletes. And frankly, when you see these sailors out on the water in their boats, you cannot tell whether they have a disability or not. And most of them train in open competition against able-bodied sailors all the time. And they do very well. Well, I've been coaching disabled sailing since 1998. I got involved as a coach, strictly as a coach. I had never coached athletes with disabilities. And frankly, I look at it as there is no difference in the tactics and the strategy and the rules. All we have are slight different physical parameters to work around. And once we really understand what those limitations are, we use adaptive equipment to maximize the ability of the sailors and minimize the impact of the disability. So as I said, our sailors are racing against everybody, regardless of whether they're able-bodied or disabled, and they're doing very well out on the water. And I think that's the most amazing thing about this group of athletes, is they don't sail with a disability. They sail to win. The adaptations are not necessarily that complex. For some of the sailors that are quadriplegics, their equipment is a little more technical and a little more advanced and complicated. But for most of these sailors, a simple bench or maybe extra purchase on a sheet is all that they need. This is my second time in Ireland. I was in Dublin's for some meetings last November, but this is the first time I've been here and had the chance to get out on the water. And from what I can see, it's a very nice place to be, and I think it's going to be a top world championship location. John Toomey has done a fantastic job bringing this regatta to Kinsale. He's a 10-time Paralympian, so he's very well-versed in competition, not only in track and field, but in sailing. And he's a great friend to all the athletes that are here. And his work as president of IFDS has really brought sailing to the forefront of the international scene. And in fact, this week, we have invitations out to the president of ISAF and a vice president that will be here for this world championship. So really, it's really brought us to the forefront. We're going to see two of our top U.S. teams in the sonar, and I think we expect good things out of both of those teams, although the sonar fleet here is almost exactly the same as it was at the Paralympics, and there any one of 8 or 9 or 10 countries could have been on the podium. So I think that will be a very tight fleet, and I think we have three teams in the Scud 18, and we've done very well in the last two Paralympic Games in the Scud, winning a gold and silver medal. And though these are three brand new teams configured for the Scud, I think we should keep an eye on that fleet as well from the Americans.
Out on the water, Seascape spoke with Stefan Thomas from Wales.
My name is Stephen Thomas, and I'm here with the Great Britain sonar sailing team. I got into sailing probably about 13 years ago. I played sport, played rugby, and I played ice hockey before. And the crew wanted to bring another person in, and luckily they found me. So I learned on the job, really. I'm currently 36. I lost my legs when I was 18. I'm a double baloney amputee. I lost my legs to meningococcal septicemia when I was 18. What happens is the meninges of the brain gets inflamed, and then that produces an infection in the body, which is something a bit like frostbite. And then they have to cut it away, otherwise you pretty much infects all your vital organs and then you die. So, you know, I was lucky really. I kept my knees and my hands and basically lost my ankles to it. So yeah, it's good. 17, 18, I played rugby union. Had a sort of a semi-amateur sort of contract there with Bergen. Ended up, was ill one evening, went home to bed. Woke up violently ill the following morning, went into hospital, and woke up a month later in ITU. And then they once they brought me around, they sedated me and sort of got all my organs rested and things. And once they brought me around, they said, "Oh, you've got meningitis." Yeah, and then that was it really. And then sort of the long road to recovery started. Hannah's mum, one of the girls I sailed with, they were looking for another person in the boat, like I said earlier on. And they contacted a load of sort of disability organisations and couldn't find anyone. And then finally they contacted Disability Sport in Wales. And they found a chap there who was a performance manager for Sport Wales. And he didn't know of anyone at the time, but he said, "Oh, look, you know, I'll keep my eye out." And about 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later, I helped the guy out of his car and into a wheelchair. Ran off into Tesco's as it was, did my shopping, and then another 4 weeks later he bumped into me in the gym and said, "Do you want to go sailing?" And that was it. That was the start of my sailing career. So baptism of fire really. Well, I think, you know, the good thing about sailing is a leveller. So you can get out on the water and actually just be yourself and be competitive against anyone, I think, with the right adaptation. So yeah, I mean, you know, I think forgiving the disability, I mean, there's a lot going on anyway, you know, and it's a fantastic sport. It's very inclusive. The sonar has three people in it. John is at the back who drives, he's the helm. Hannah is at the front who does bow and she's tactician. And I'm in the middle that does the big mainsail. So my role is pretty much strength, but relaying communications between Hannah and John when we're sort of going through tacks and manoeuvres and tactics and things like that. And just trying to sort of be the brunt of the boat really. And I'm the physical aspect, but slowly sort of still sort of learning every day when I get into a boat. You know, it's great. You know, with or without a disability, I think it's the same. I mean, you have to have the same mental abilities in terms of perseverance, a good skill set for sailing, but then the physical abilities, you know, you've still got to pull that roping. So depending on your disability, you will do, you know, in different ways. You tend to have a sort of a bigger guy in the middle that can work the big sail in the middle of the boat. Strength is a key. But there's also the Norwegians have got a girl in the middle, so you can, the great thing about sailing is you can add more pulleys and add more purchases into the boat to make it easier. Strong is helpful. You do change the boat and you do adapt it to the disabilities within the boat. So John's got a seat in the back for him and he transfers when we tack and we jibe. And then there's a bar in the middle for him to hold on. But, you know, our sonar is probably one of the least modified within the fleet. So, you know, a little polish underneath and that's all she is. Classification is based on a functional medical model. So you have within disabled sailing, you have a 1 to 7 criteria. One being more disabled than a 7. So 1 or 2 would be a spinal break or a impairment in their spinal cord. And then towards the latter end, 7 would be someone who's visually impaired. In our boat, John's a 2, who's a spinal injury. I'm a 6, who's a double baloney amputee, and Hannah's a 6, who's a single arm amputee. So, like I said, the boat can hold many disabilities, and that's the good thing about the sonar. Although you have to have a total of 14 points in the boat, so 3 people have to make 14 points or below. So if you look at the top teams, the matrix is generally 2-6-6. Because you have the more sort of, I put in inverted commas, more less able, even though John can tack the boat the best of us and drive the boat better than I ever can. And then you have the more physically able body, in inverted commas, again in the front of the boat. So the idea is just try and get as many disabilities in the boat as possible, but also at the same time, you know, the top guys are pushing those boundaries by getting the more able configuration in the boat. So it's good. So we were trying to work out last time we were here. I think we were here in 2005 or 2003. I think 2007 actually, just before the Beijing Paralympics. And we did Irish Nationals year. So, it's a fantastic place to sail. People are brilliant. And, the crack is good as well. So, as they say.
The IFDS Disabled Sailing World Championships is hosted by Kinsale Yacht Club. And by the way, you can read and see more on the dedicated website, which is www.ifdsworlds2013.com, or indeed visit the town or the Seascapes website. Staying at the World Championships, Seascapes talked to Nicky Burrell as the teams assembled over a week ago before the opening ceremony.
Yeah, first time in Kinsale. Arrived here yesterday, had a bit of a sleep yesterday, so first time in the boat park today, and so far so good. Looks like a nice town and a nice place to be, and I'm looking forward to the week ahead. The Paralympics last year as an event as a whole couldn't have got any better. The interest in the UK was absolutely phenomenal, and all the stadiums were full, and it was good to see, and for a big event. So the Scud is the two-person Paralympic boat. In it there has to be a male and a female crew, and the skipper has to be a one or two-pointer, which means more severely disabled. So the helm is normally the more disabled one, and the crew the least, and like I say, it has to be a boy and a girl. I am crewing for Alexander Rickham. I hope there's going to be some nice breeze and some good competition, and just looking forward to 10 really competitive races against the rest of the fleet and seeing what we can learn. All our sailors are very good. We've got the Olympic champion in the 2.4, Helena Lucas, and Megan Pascoe as well, who's very competitive on the international scene, and some others. And in the sonar, we've got strong representation as well. My granddad had a boat, and I wanted a sport where I could be competitive, and thought sailing was one of them. And luckily I had a few great years helming for my brother in the able-bodied world, and then switched over to the paras just before China. So I did mirrors with my brother, which is a dinghy in the UK, and then 420s and then 470s with my brother, and then just before China switched to the Scud with Alexander, and cracking on with that now.
Every Saturday morning, a team of volunteers drawn from Kinsale Yacht Club take part in a programme of access sailing. One of the regular participants is Georgina Griffin. She told Seascapes about being involved in the sport.
Well, it's a programme where disabled kids get to go out sailing every Saturday morning, and I've been a part of it for 4 years now. My physio, Mary Gleeser, I had back problems and I wasn't allowed to do much sport. So she knew that I had a speed addiction, so she said sailing would be a good thing. I have achondroplasia, which is a type of dwarfism. I've had it since birth. Just shrank. And it's just my torso is average height, if it's average size, but my legs and arms are smaller. I knew I'd be an athlete, but I didn't think I'd be able to go sailing. Like, when I was younger, I was like, oh, because my sisters went sailing, and I was like, I wouldn't be able for that. So, yeah, I'm glad. I won last year. They were the first nationals for access class, and this year they divided it into ladies and men's, because there was loads more this year. So I came third overall this year, and first in the ladies. I've never seen such a big competition. Like, I just came home from the World Dwarf Games, and I thought, well, that was really big and professional, but this is like another level. This is very professional, and everything is so exact, and everyone's just so the scale is just so much bigger. It's amazing. I do athletics as well, so I'm focusing a lot on athletics at the moment, because athletics, you have a time span in your life. Once you get to a certain age, you're just too old. So, but sailing is better. It lasts longer. So I'm keeping it I really want to get up. Try to get up the ranks, and hopefully I'd love to go to the Paralympics. Like, Kevin Downey, like, the guy I'm sailing with, is a really good sailor, and he's been, like, he's always, I've gone out sailing with him a few times, and he's just a great sailor. And
What's your boat like?
It's a scud. It's a two-person boat, and it has to be a male and female team, and one actually has to be a severe disability, and the other athlete has to be a moderate disability. So it's a good boat. It's really fast, so it's nice. I've known Kevin, like, he runs the access class, so I've known him for 4 years now, because I've been doing it for 4 years, so I've known him for ages. I have my own boat. I have a Laser Pico, which is just a small little dinghy, but I also sail the access boats, so it depends on the day. And sometimes I help out, I instruct. Like, this year I've started instructing sometimes, so it depends on the day. If they need help instructing, I'll do that, or I'll bring out my own boat. I never knew when I was younger that anybody could do it. It's just a sport that you can modify the boats. Like, some of the boats outside are modified to, like, they're amazing. They, like, can't explain them, but, like, the seats tilt on a sip and puff. So, like, you sip and it goes one way, and you puff and it goes the other way. So, like, it's amazing. There's very tough competition, like, but we'll try.
Well, if Georgina's dedication is determined, let's hear from New Zealand sailor David Barnes.
Basically, pretty much at the time that I could walk, I was actually on boats. And I came from a boating family. I had two older brothers, and they were very much involved in sailing. And so it was obvious for me to actually be involved in sailing as well. And the whole time I was at school, I've been sailing, and right through my teenage years and everything, and then later on done 6 different America's Cups, and sailing has been my life and my career. That was really exciting. It's a real interesting life. So I was involved with the New Zealand Challenge back in 1985 in Perth, and which was the first challenge that New Zealand had ever done. And then it went right through to 92 was the last campaign I did. And I was the general manager for the GBR Challenge, the British America's Cup team that was in New Zealand. And so, I was the skipper of the big boat that raced the catamaran back in 88. And I've had quite an interesting career with the yachting. Finally, the America's Cup is now the Formula One of yacht racing, and it's been a long time coming. But it's pretty exciting. The boats themselves would probably take 2 or 3 more America's Cup before they iron out all the issues and all the problems. But the boats themselves are really exciting. I've had multiple cirrhosis for but over 13 years, and which is really when I found out about that, it really put an end to my sailing career as such. And so doing the Paralympic sailing is actually really, as my wife says, it's really given you a second chance. And it's really exciting to actually be involved back in competitive sailing again. What actually happened is I was doing the Kimura Cup in Hawaii, and I found my balance was affected, and I was starting to get double vision to my left-hand side and looking out to the left. And then my GP actually said, I'm going to send you to a neurologist. And so I went to a neurologist, and he sort of did a whole test and checks on me and said, I'm pretty sure I know what you have. And then they did. It was not until the end of 2003, at the end of the America's Cup in New Zealand, I had some really bad attacks. And then I had MRI scans and stuff like that. And then from the result of the MRI scans, they knew exactly what the problem was. So, yeah. for the probably the first 5 years since the diagnosis, it was really denial, and I thought, can't be my life, you know. And but then as time goes on, you sort of, you adjust to it, and at the end of the day, you do the best job you can with what you've got. And it's never easy, but, you know, there's always somebody worse off than what you are. I lived it probably for about 10 years, and so really didn't do any sailing at all. And then Rick Dodson and myself sort of got together, and we basically had a similar background. We both came from Wellington and New Zealand, and we both moved to Auckland at a similar time, and we, you know, we've got a very similar background with our sailing careers, and he's done quite a few America's Cups as well. And so we just chatted about it, and after seeing the Paralympic sailing in England, we actually thought, well, maybe we should give it a go. And so here we are. And our plan is to actually put together a sensible campaign to be in Rio in 2016. It's really good for both of us. The fact that Rick, we both have similar symptoms, so you know, we understand what each other's going through. And if he's having a bad day, I can sort of give him a hand. And if I'm having a bad day, he can give me a hand. We're sympathetic to the issues that each other is actually trying to deal with. In some ways, it's probably been harder on my family than it has been on me. Because I've got three kids, and you're 23, 20 and 17, and they've grown up through, you know, been brought up through many America's Cups, and, you know, for them to actually see all of a sudden Dad's actually, you know, very different to what it used to be, and so it's been quite hard on them. We're on a massive learning curve at the moment because the sonar class that we're sailing, we don't have any sonars in New Zealand. We actually did our first regatta in Miami early in the year, and before that we'd never even seen a sonar, let alone step foot on a boat, let alone race a boat. And here we are, we actually now own a boat, and we're actually entering a world championship. We've got a 3.5 year program sort of mapped out, major regattas around the world, and the next world championship in after this in Canada, and so we've identified all the regattas that we actually need to do, learn as much as we can, and be competitive, and so hopefully we'll end up being able to get a good result in Rio.
Finally, to the world number one. She is Megan Pascoe, and she spoke to Marcella Connolly for Seascapes about being in Kinsale for the IFTS Disabled Sailing World Championships.
Megan eats, sleeps and breathes sailing, and now tells us exactly how that passion was cultivated.
Parents met sailing, and that's what we always did. Dad went down to sailing club, so that's where we went and sort of got in the Optimist fleet, our local club, and then I got two older brothers, and just kind of carried on from there. It became a social life, which is the best way to get kids in sailing. You join a club and then you get the social life, and then you want to go because you want to see your friends, and then it kind of carries on from there, which is pretty cool. Been sailing pretty much since I was 2 years old, sailing the Optimist since I was about 7, and then this boat since I was about 14. I got cerebral palsy, which my form is hemiplegia, which means I'm spastic down my right-hand side, so I'm really, really tense down my right-hand side, and so I kind of walk a bit funny, and my right hand sort of works, but not quite, from birth, so it's a birth defect. So my 2.4 isn't that modified. I got a few extra purchases in it, so it makes it easier for me to pull ropes and stuff, so it makes everything a bit lighter. But apart from that, it's all pretty normal. I kind of got used to it now. I mean, the 2.4 is perfectly designed so that you're only sitting in the middle, so you don't have to move from side to side, and all the ropes are just in front of you, so it's not actually that difficult to adjust everything, which makes it a perfect boat for disabled people and people who don't want to go and hike out dinghies anymore. It's about my 11th year of competing internationally, so the best one was third at the Open Class Worlds last year in Italy. That was pretty cool. And then my other one, my RTS World in 2011, I came third. So, yeah, it's been up there. I mean, this year I'm ranked number one in the world. Had 3 gold medals, 1 silver and a bronze. So this year's been pretty cool internationally. We sort of travel as a wider British team, especially when we're with the Olympic classes as well. We do a lot of competing with them. So we have a huge team, part of the British sailing team. I've got my coach, who at the moment is coaching the Extreme 40s in Cardiff, so he's sort of busy at the moment, so he'll be back for the start of next week. But yeah, we've got the rest of the Paralympic team here. So the sonar guys are great, and so it's good. Before the regatta, it's quite light. It's only sort of 2 or 3 hours in the water. Just making it so it's just getting used to things, getting used to the venue, making sure you know what the tide and the wind's doing. And then it's just kind of relaxing and sort of go through measurements. So it's not long days in the water, just chilling out, getting used to everything. Well, we've got three out of the 4 past Olympic gold medalists. So going from Sydney all the way through to London. So we've got 3 very good guys there. So the French, the Germans, and there's another British lady. So they're going to be pretty cool. There's Norwegian as well, and one of the Dutch guys is pretty good. So it's going to be a good fight, I think. You spend much of your year with them, probably spend more time with these guys than you do with your actual friends back home. So yeah, they're a good bunch of guys. It's weird because you're racing against them, but no, they're good friends. I've got a good sailing social life at home. I sail at a Weymouth Sailing Club down in Dorset back home, and we've got a very good social life back down there, but it's all through sailing again. But that's sailing everything from squibs to big boats to Merlin rockets to anything I can get my hands on. People think I'm mad. They're sort of like, what do you do when you've got time off? Sort of, well, I go sailing. That's my social life, really. It's just more and more sailing. When I'm sailing other things, when I'm sort of work on my sort of champagne sailing, my club sailing, I'm just having fun. I still want to win, but when I'm having fun, then I do it with either 2 or more people. So, yeah, it's a big challenge, that. But the great thing about the 2.4 metre is that it doesn't matter whether you're very, very severely disabled or not very disabled at all. You all race together, which is pretty cool. Literally, you're all on the same start line. You'll start together, you'll race together. It's who crosses the line first wins, which is perfect. It means that the boat's perfectly adapted. It doesn't matter if you're male, female, and whatever disability you are. You can adapt your boat, so it makes it easy for you to helm it, and you just kind of go with the flow. And I think that's great, because there's not really any other Paralympic sport that allows that. Sailing is a great sport. It's very inclusive. We all just have a great laugh together. It does open your eyes to what you can actually do as a disabled person. You say, oh, I can't do that, and then you look at other people who are more disabled than you. They're doing it, so why not? It is a really, really good sport. The press loves that picture of when you've got the wheelchairs and the legs and the crutches all left on the pontoon, and everybody's just gone sailing, and that's it. It's one of my friends used to name his boat after penguins, because he was always in wheelchair on land, but when he went on the water, he was just free and he could do everything. He didn't need somebody else to go sailing with him. He could do it on his own. Whereas on land, he needed somebody to sort of help him do a lot of things. So I think that's a great analogy to say, actually, no, it's freedom. You just get away from your disability, really. We've got a very competitive British team at the moment, going up against the gold medalists from London, so it's always a bit taxing. But I've been racing against her for the last sort of 7-8 years, so. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm going to give it my best shot. I've missed out the last 2 times, so hopefully this time I'll do it. But my aim is to sort of be world number one first, and then that'll give me the best shot at going to the Games.
Bray Sailing Club are holding their inaugural ladies' race on Saturday the 7th of September in conjunction with the Irish Sailing Association's Women on the Water and the Pink Ribbon Fund. The club are insisting that a lady helms for the duration of the race and are encouraging as many ladies as possible to take part. The guys are being encouraged to dress up for the day too, but a real lady has to helm. Bray Sailing Club are asking €10 per lady, genuine or for the day, towards the fundraising, and hope to raise as much as possible. Also next Saturday, Galway Sub Aqua Club are having a 50th anniversary gathering in the city. Club member Paula Hart.
Yeah, so the club is 50 years old this year, which for, you know, an amateur sporting organisation is great, you know, to have that continuous membership for 50 years. So to mark it and to celebrate it, we're having a do on the 7th of September in the Salt Hill Hotel. And we've called on all the ex-members to and current members and people who dabbled and to come along on the night and just to sit down with the Richard Ive buddies and reminisce over the last 50 years and just to really mark the occasion. You know, I think it's something that shouldn't go unmarked, and we're putting our all into it to make it a great night. So,
on Seascapes on Friday the 13th of September, we'll be featuring Galway Sabacwa Club, celebrating their 50th anniversary. The latest bumper edition of Subsea is out now, celebrating 50 years of diving in Ireland. Next Friday night here on Seascapes, we'll be featuring the European Laser Championships from Dún Laoghaire. We'll have the tale of two cats, one a favourite of Winston Churchill and the other a resident of Belfast, as related to veteran journalist Tim McGuinness by the late Jimmy Kelly. We talk to photographer, blogger and film cameraman Brian Carlin on a remarkable year as he sets off on the first leg of the Clipper Ventures Round the World race. We hear about last weekend's commemoration of Rome Dockyard. We'll have all that and much more here on Seascapes. Until next Friday night, tight lines and fair sailing.